Name of purpose, looking at Romans chapter 1, verse 16. We have finally got to the end, and our end is the idea of eternity. And as we begin, I want to discuss some very important questions with you that I'm going to try to answer this morning in this particular passage of Scripture. First, is God a righteous God? The first question I want you to think about, is God a righteous God? The second question I want you to think about, is God a just God? And then the third question we're going to try to answer is God righteous and just to let a person die and go to hell who has never once heard the name of Jesus? Is God a righteous God? Is God a just God? Is God a righteous and a just God to let someone die and go to hell who has never heard the name of Jesus Christ? Or perhaps, is there another way to get to a place called heaven? Is there some other Savior that can allow us to enter into a place called heaven? Let me answer these questions quickly, and we'll look at them in great detail. First of all, God is righteous and God is just. And second, there is no other way than through Jesus Christ. God is righteous, God is just, and there is no other way for us to enter a place called heaven without putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. It is clear, based on John 14, that Jesus Christ is the only way. If there was another way, that would make Jesus Christ a liar, and if that made Jesus Christ a liar, then he could not be a Savior to anyone. But we know, based on the Scripture, that there is no other way to a place called heaven than believing on Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given among men in which you must be saved. Jesus Christ is the only way. If Jesus Christ was not the way, he is no way. However, we must believe and know that Jesus Christ is ultimately the way maker. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and following, we read with me here for a moment. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power unto God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God, revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even as eternal power in Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel, is a verse many of us know. And I want you to know that the person standing before you right now is not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of what's found in the Scripture. I'm not ashamed of knowing that Jesus Christ is the way. And the more that I study the Word of God, the more I believe it. And the more that I believe it, I begin to share it. And the more that I share it, I see Jesus Christ showing people that he is the only way. So as you think about Jesus Christ being the only way, I want you to be able to stand in boldness and knowing that you are not ashamed of the gospel. Regardless of where you work, regardless of where you go to school, or regardless of who you come in contact with, it's about time that we as Christians believe what we just sang for 8 minutes, that Jesus Christ is the ultimate way maker. Romans 1:20, if you look with me for a moment in that particular verse there at the bottom, it says, without excuse. Without excuse, this particular line is what we're going to look at and have in our mind to answer the questions of, is God righteous? Is God just? And if God is righteous and just, is he right for sending someone to hell who does not or has not ever heard of Jesus Christ? Now, I want you to think, I mentioned about the Jesus sending someone to hell. I'm going to answer that there for a moment. I don't believe that Jesus Christ sends anyone to hell, but I'm going to give you in this passage of Scripture that Jesus Christ is the only way, looking at four factors this morning. The first factor I want you to look at is Romans 1:19 and 20, which is simply the revelation factor. The revelation factor. The revelation factor is all men have some light. The revelation factor is all men have some light. That is men like us in Rankin County and Flowood. That is men like those in Africa. That is those in the Amazon jungle. We got a couple of missionaries with us that minister down in the Amazon. That is all men. It doesn't matter who you are, where you're from. The revelation factor based on Romans 1:19 and 20 shows us that some light has been given to all men. Read 19 and 20 with me once more. because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Imagine with me this morning the judgment time for the heathen. The great judgment's taken place. The accusation has been made. The indictment has been given. They are found guilty and found guilty of ungodliness. The heathen man looks at God sitting on the throne or up in the particular booth, and he says, "You know what, God? I am not guilty because I have not heard. I am innocent because of my ignorance." The Apostle Paul sitting over here on the side, and he looks at Your Honor, which is God here in the court scene, and he says, "Your Honor, I'm going to give you two witnesses that allows this individual to know that they are guilty, that they have had some type of revelation. I'd like to call them to the stand." So if you can imagine with me, we see here they're pleading their case. The Apostle Paul comes in and says, "You know what? They are guilty." And he calls two witnesses to the stand, and the first witness we see is creation. The first witness we see, looking at the revelation factor, is creation. That is the outward objective witness. The outward objective witness. Looking at Romans 1, 19 and 20, it says, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them." The first thing that we can see, no matter where you are on the face of the planet, whether or not there's a God, is by looking at creation. Looking at creation, the way things function, the way things look, it is the outward objective witness that Paul uses in the courtroom setting to show that the heathen that says he's ignorant to the fact is absolutely guilty because God has granted him some light. What does creation do? Creation testifies to the fact of God. Creation shows that there is a higher being. The way things function, the way things work, the way the planets are in a certain order, the way the moon does its thing and the sun does its thing, and he allows rain and all those things. So it's hard for me to believe, as a Christian for sure, for someone who looks out at creation and does not believe that there is something higher than man, that there is something greater than man. And that is the first witness that Paul uses that says it is the outward objective witness and is the mindset of creation. If you have creation, you have a creator. If you have a painting, you have a painter. If you have a building, you have an architect and a builder. You get the point there. When you look at the finished product, you know that there is something that created those things. Regardless of what it may be, when I see the universe, in my little feeble mind, I know there's a creator. And when I see order in the system, I know that there is intelligence. But there are some, based on Psalm 14:1, that does not believe that. And Psalm 14:1 says, "The fool has said in their heart, there is no God." There are individuals out there who do not believe that God is the supreme being, that Jesus Christ is the only way. But the Apostle Paul here is using one very basic witness of creation to prove in the revelation factor that you do in fact know that there is a higher being. The second witness is called to the stand. And the second witness is a conscience. The conscience, which is the inward subject witness. It's the conscience that we are born with. It's what that we have as a human being created in the image of God, because God granted us something called a conscience. Now, I want to be able to prove this to you of where I'm getting creation and conscience from. So if you will, look in Romans 1:19. And if you like to mark in your Bible, I would have you mark these two things or write them down. How do we see creation? Romans 1:19, it says, "God hath showed it unto them." Creation is the outward witness that we see, that God has showed it to them. As you continue to read in Romans 1:19, you see the second witness of conscience, where it says in the scripture that in them. Now you read the scripture, Romans 1:19, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest," here's conscience, "in them, for God had showed it unto them," which are the two witnesses that we're seeing here of the revelation factor. That God is showing that creation unto them is allowing you to see that there is a creator. That God is showing through witness number two, in them, that's me and you, that there is a conscience. That God says, "I want you to know that there is a supreme being. I want you to know that there is somebody higher and mightier than you. So I'm not only going to give you creation for you to look at, I'm going to instill it in you, in your conscience, so that you know that Jesus Christ and God is the only way." Look at Romans chapter 2 with me in verse 14. Verse 14 of Romans 2, "For when the Gentiles," that's the pagans, "which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts that meanwhile accusing or excusing one another." We see there in Romans chapter 2 the mention of the witness number 2 of the conscience. So I believe with all of my heart, based on Romans chapter 1 verse 19, that no matter where God places someone on the face of the earth, God is sovereign enough to put in those individuals the desire of wanting to find out, A, who is the creator, and number 2, following their conscience. I believe God's able to do that. I also believe that if there is someone in the middle of Brazil that wants to know the Lord, we send 2 people from Flowood, Mississippi, and we put them on a boat, and they go to Manaus, and they travel 5 hours, and they go upstream to all these weird towns like Itacoati area. If I'm wrong, just go with it, Todd. And they get out of the boat, and at that moment is exactly like God wanted it to happen, and they lead them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I believe God can do that. I believe that God is ultimately the way maker. But I want you to know that these 2 witnesses, creation and conscience, are part of the revelation factor, and they are given to all people. They are given to the Gentiles. They are given to the Jew. They are given to the unbeliever. They are given to the believer. They are given to the pagans. That God has granted those 2 witnesses within us and us to be able to see that the revelation factor is exactly part of what God has called them to do. There is a built-in knowledge of God. There is a knowledge that God granted us that I believe to know there's a higher being. Augustine said it like this: the soul of man is restless until it rests in God. The soul of man is restless until it rests in God. Which leads to a question that you might have asked or been a part of before or had conversation with someone. What about an atheist? Or what is an atheist? Well, I don't believe there's a supreme being. I don't believe there's a God, preacher. I don't want to be no part of that. I want to tell you this morning, based on God's word, is there is no real intellectual atheist. There is no real intellectual atheist. I believe that those who are atheists is because of moral problems. Because when God saves you, your life should change. And those that call themselves atheists or do not believe in a supreme being, whatever it may be, the problem they have of putting their faith and trust in Jesus is that they are going to have to allow God to radically change their life. So they don't want any part of it. They don't want a part of this God. And so when you have these conversations with someone who claims to be an atheist or knows the people who are atheists, they may say something like this: I know intelligent people who are atheists. My answer is simply, so what? Right? So what? You know intelligent people who are atheists? So what? I know some brilliant people today who are not atheists. They may continue to talk and say, you may say that I know some foolish people who believe in God, and I'm, based on God's word, is going to say, all those are fools who do not believe there's a God. All of those who do not believe in God or say there is no God, they are the fools. Look at Romans 1:22. Romans 1:22 allows us to see that this is not an intellectual matter. Verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They think they're smarter than God. Why can we answer this, or how can we prove that this is not an intellectual matter? Because all who exist, I just told you, God has granted a conscience. All who has been created, God has put in that body and put in that mind and put in that heart, whatever you want to call it, a conscience, and it is a morality problem. An atheist is someone who has the idea of God that makes him uncomfortable. An atheist is simply someone who has an idea of God that makes him uncomfortable. So what does the atheist do? The atheist tries to get rid of that uncomfortable feeling. They tried to rid themselves of the things of God, and over they continue to try to rid themselves of maybe the word of God, the conviction of God, the work of God in and through creation. But I want you to know, if you believe in witness number 2, this is not possible, because deep in their hearts they know there's a conscience in which they're fighting their moral problems. So when you talk to an atheist, guys, don't just give up when they say, I don't believe in a God. Don't just say, you know what, I'm going to allow them to do what they want to do. We must know that deep down inside, in the hardest of hearts, based on the revelation factor and based on conscience, that God has instilled in them something to know that there is a higher being. In 1 John 1:9 lets us know that simply if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the question is God righteous and is God just? Yes. God is righteous and God is just. These are the two witnesses we see. Creation and conscience that shows and testifies that each individual is given the revelation factor, that they are given some light. Factor number two, Romans 1:21, the refusal factor, which is simply light refused increases darkness. The refusal factor is light refused increases darkness. Verse 20, for just a moment, we saw without excuse there at the bottom. But in verse 21, read with me here, it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. When they knew God, this is the idea. This is knowing by creation and conscience that God does exist, but they glorified Him not as God. So the little bit of light that those people are given through conscience and creation allows them to know that God is faithful, that God is there. But we must understand all men, as I said earlier, have received some light. And when God gives you the light, when God grants you a little bit of light or a little bit more light or whatever it may be, it's your responsibility to respond on that light. And the more you refuse the light, the more you refuse the Word of God, the more you refuse the conviction of the Holy Spirit, the more it becomes darker and darker. Why? Because you're refusing the light that God has given us. Very important statement here looking at Romans 1:21 is simply in the Bible, the opposite of truth is not error, it is sin. The opposite of truth is not error, it is sin. Now, why is this important? When you think about this statement, the error that we see, the opposite of truth is not error, it is sin. The error that me and you see is the baggage that follows the sin. Because we've made mistakes, because we've sinned, because we've made bad decisions, we have the baggage that follows us because we have not made the right decision for the Lord. It can be all kind of things. It can be maybe I'm swapping jobs even though God said it's not time. It could be I'm ready to start a family even though God says it's not time. It could be, you know what, I'm going to do what I've got to do to have a family and to have a child and to do all these things, and I'm going to do it my way, and God is sitting there saying, you know what, it is not time. Why does man refuse the truth? He refuses the truth because sin's in his heart. Why do individuals in the world today not want a part of what we say believe? And it's because there is sin in their heart that they're not asking God to forgive them of. Look back with me in Romans 1:18. Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and the unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. The word hold there is very important of verse 18. It simply means who resists the truth, who smothers the truth, who holds back the truth. And many of us have probably done that before. Well, you know what? I don't want to say that because it's going to hurt their feelings. I don't want to say that because it's going to make them uncomfortable. I don't want to say that because I don't want them to think that I am judging them. Guys, I want you to know that if you expose sin through the Scripture, that's exactly how people are going to feel. If you see sin taking place and you back it up with Scripture, it's going to bother them. It's going to convict them. It's going to make them start thinking, how do they hold back the truth? Not in error, but in unrighteousness. Understanding that his lifestyle is unrighteous. But the revelation factor, creation and conscience, are pulling at that unrighteousness and trying to move him at righteousness. What does that mean? It's a constant battle. At the end of the day, what that means, this is a constant battle, and normally it's far greater than what you and I can see. But the foolish heart becomes darker and darker as it runs from the light. Those who don't respond to it, those who don't act upon it, continue to run from the light that God has given them. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 gives us a picture of this when he's discussing in the reference of the Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, very important, follow me here. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. What does God do based on the second factor of constantly refusing the light? Verse 10 of that same reference of 2 Thessalonians 2, because they receive not the love of truth that they might be saved. And then verse 11 says, God shall send them strong delusions. Think about these two verses with me. Because they did not receive the truth in verse 10, verse 11 tells us that God sent strong delusions. Why did God send strong delusions? So that they might believe a lie. Why did God send a lie? That they might be damned. Why would they be damned? That they heard the truth and knew the truth and turned from the truth. That is when our light is getting dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. That we know better. We know what we are supposed to do. And we know what we're not supposed to do. So you see in 2 Thessalonians that when you do not believe in the truth and you're constantly ridding yourselves of the light, you are given strong delusions from God based on 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And those strong delusions cause you to believe a lie. And when you believe a lie, you're damned to a place called hell because you don't believe in Jesus. And you're damned to a place called hell. Why? Because you knew the truth and you rejected Jesus. They had pleasure in their own sin. With that sin is the baggage, the delusion, the lie, and the damnation. All people have some light called the revelation factor. And then you have the refusal factor, which is light refused increases darkness. And number three, you have the reception factor. The reception factor. Light obeyed increases light. Now, if you're a believer this morning, I want you to listen to this whole point. Not that I don't want you to listen to all four of them, but I want you to listen to this whole point if you're a believer this morning, because I believe this is, my opinion, what's most important for us as a church, where we are as a body of believers. The reception factor is light obeyed increases light. Creation and conscience. Creation and conscience only bring us to the fact of God. But know this, if a man is not interested in the fact of God, he is certainly not interested in the way to God. If a man is not interested in the fact of God, he is certainly not interested into the way of God. So back to the atheist, there is no God. Finally, he realizes that he needs a Savior. He needs help. He begins to cry out, which allows God to show him the way to God through Jesus Christ. But I want you to know that God in his sovereignty is under no obligation to show the way to any man who is not interested in having a relationship with God through Jesus. God is not under that obligation. God desires for you to have a relationship. God desires for you to know the way, the truth, and the life. But you as a person has to want to know God in that way, and then God moves in and through you. So the question this morning is, what is the reception factor? What is the reception factor? Look with me back in Romans 1, 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith, the faith that is written, the just shall live by faith. Is God righteous? Yes. Is God just? Yes. How is the righteousness of God revealed? How is the righteousness of God? How do we understand the reception factor? The Bible tells us in verse 17, from faith to faith is the reception factor. From faith to faith, that God gives you the truth, you believe that truth, you respond to that truth, and God gives you more truth. It's kind of like you who have had teenagers, okay? Hey, you know what? Your curfew's at 10 o'clock, and if you don't come home at 10 o'clock, I'm taking your keys and whatever, you get the point. They come on at 10:01 just to test you one time, and what do you do, Dad? If it's a little girl, you probably lost your mind. Let's be honest. I said, oh, it's okay. It's part of it. Or you say, you know what, I'm going to take your keys. And they take their keys, and now what you got to do? They're mad and they're soiled up because they're entitled to a vehicle, right? No, don't answer that. But the idea that we see there is, you know what, I'm going to give you a little bit of leeway. And then when you mess up, what happens? We take it away from them. Same thing with God. Okay, God, I want a little bit more light. Here comes the conviction of the Holy Spirit. God, I want to respond to that light, so I'm going to accept the salvation. And then God gives you that salvation through what Jesus Christ has done. And then you say, you know what, I want to grow in my faith. So God gives you a little more light in and through the Word of God so that you are continuing to grow. The example that we may see is the man out in the middle of the jungle who sees creation and he cries out to God, God, if you're there, I need you to help me. Help me. He says, God, I know that you are there. I know that there's a higher being. That is faith. And then he goes from faith of knowing that there is a God to the faith of calling out to God, which allows us to understand Romans 1:17, faith to faith. I believe that there is no man on the earth or woman that has ever desired to have an inclination of who God is that God did not grant that. I don't believe there's any human that can say, well, God just did not grant me anything to know there's a God. I believe that while all men do have enough light to save them, while all men do not have enough light to save them, all men have enough light to damn them. I believe that maybe they've seen the light and they rejected the light and said, you know what, I don't want any part of that, which leads to damnation, a place called hell. But I also know that simply when you look at this, that you may have just enough light to say, hey, you know what, I need Jesus. You may have just enough light to say, you know what, I am in need of a Savior. Think about Acts chapter 8 with me, the Ethiopian eunuch. Ethiopian eunuch, very important individual, very wealthy. He's traveling back from Jerusalem, the most holy city of all time. He's on a chariot. He had gone searching for the Lord, and he comes back not receiving what he wants. So he's cruising along in his wagon and his chariot with all of his bodyguards. He begins to read the prophet Isaiah, if you know the scripture in Acts chapter 8. And then God calls out old Philip, who's a long way away, who's in the middle of a revival. People are being saved and coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus. But God says to Philip, Philip, I want you to go meet this Ethiopian eunuch. Philip scratching his head says, God, man, God's moving. You're moving here. People are being saved. Why are you calling me to go intercept this Ethiopian eunuch who's traveling back? And if you study the scripture, you will see that Philip goes. Philip shares the gospel. We understand that right there in the middle of the desert that the Ethiopian eunuch desired to know this God. So God answered the prayer of the Ethiopian eunuch by sending Philip, because why? The Ethiopian eunuch was an opportunity on wheels that God was not going to miss. The Ethiopian eunuch was an opportunity on wheels that God was not going to miss. Aren't you thankful that God didn't miss the opportunity when you called out? Aren't you glad that when you said, I need you, God, that he brought somebody from wherever it may be to intercept you in the middle of your worst time of your life so that you might be saved? Or what about Cornelius, if you continue to read in Acts chapter 10? Cornelius is a Gentile army general. He began to cry out to God, God, if you're there, show me something. God grants him a vision. And then God speaks to Simon Peter and says, Simon Peter, I wanted you to go to where Cornelius is staying, and I want you to share the gospel with him so that he and his house might be saved. That is a little bit of light turning into a lot of light. Why? Because we're asking for God to send the light. Now listen to me, church. I want you to listen to this next statement. The reason that some of us do not understand the Bible any more than we understand the Bible is that we have not been living up to the light that God has already given us. Think about that. The Bible says if you believe in Jesus Christ that you're to follow in believer's baptism, which is baptizo, which means fully submersion. But we don't want to be baptized because it might mess up our $200 hairdo, or we don't want to be baptized because God knows our heart. No. You know what the Bible says when you accept Jesus, and you know the Bible says the following believer's baptism, but what are we doing? We're coming up with our own thing. The Bible also calls to be the church a Great Commission church. It's very plain, it's very simple that we are to go and share, that we are to go and tell the gospel. We know exactly what God created the church to do, yet we are not responding in that way, and we're asking God for more light, and God's like, you got what you got now, and you're not doing anything with it. I've made it abundantly clear of what you're supposed to do, and you're content where you are. And I believe that's us as believers today, is that we don't understand that light obeyed increases light. And if you don't understand parts of the Bible, and you want to know more about the Bible, we must know that God is going to grant us what we need. John 7:17. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. One of the greatest promises in the Bible. In John 7:17 and 18, which is simply, when a man surrenders his will, God will speak to him. When a man surrenders his will, God will speak to him. And many of us are in the issues that we're in today because we have not surrendered our will to God, yet we're expecting God to speak to us. The last thing I want you to think this morning is the redeeming factor out of Romans chapter 2. The redeeming factor out of Romans chapter 2. If you'll move it over to Romans 2 verse 5, you'll see the redeeming factor is that God will judge us by the light we have rejected. Romans 2, 5. But after thy hardness and impending heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Look with me in 11 and 12. Romans 2. For there is no respecter of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. When God comes to judge us, what will he judge us by? Do you think he is going to judge you by the sin that you're committing? I want to say this, and I believe it, that the answer is no, because the blood of Jesus Christ covers us. I believe that God is going to judge us by the amount of light that we have rejected. The amount of times that we said we are too busy. The amount of times that we said we have better plans. What is he saying in Romans 2, 5 and 11 and 12? He's saying that God knows how much light that you have. And you and myself may have more light than others because we live in Rankin County where there are churches on every corner. And we may have more light than those that have never stepped foot in the church. And it's simply by the providence of God that you have more light. But you must also know that God is going to hold you more accountable of that light than the one who's never heard. That you are going to be held more accountable. Look with me in Luke chapter 12, verse 48. But he that knew not and did commit the things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him much shall be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. When you look at the beginning of that verse, verse 48, but he that knew not, who is that? That's the pagan. Yes, the pagan. That allows us to know, based on Luke chapter 12, verse 48, that you and I have heard more than the pagan. It would be terrible for the pagan in Africa, just listen to me, to die and not believe in Jesus Christ. But I believe it is more terrible for you sitting here today who have heard the gospel being preached and clearly through the conviction of the Holy Spirit to reject Jesus Christ and go to a place called hell. The burning question this morning is not what is God going to do with the heathen that has never heard. The burning question is what is God going to do with you? What is God going to do with you? What is God going to do with me? The ones who have heard it, the ones who say they believe that Jesus Christ is the only way. You've heard the gospel. You know Jesus lived and died and provided everlasting life. And you simply say no. Matthew 10:14 is a verse of scripture, if you want to write this down, that is something that I think we need to remember at times. Matthew 10:14, and whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words when you depart out of this house, shake the dust off your feet. When you depart out of this house or city, shake the dust off your feet. When you study Matthew chapter 10, verse 14, you will see that this is a soul-winning verse. And it's exactly what we as Christians here at Florida Baptist Church are called to do. Now, why would Jesus in Matthew chapter 10 simply say, shake the dust off your feet? And the answer is simply because there is coming a judgment. There is coming a judgment. You may say, God, have mercy on me. I did not have a chance. There's coming a time where you're going to stand before the Lord and you may say, I'm ignorant, I did not know, God have mercy on me. But I want you to know this morning, based on the scripture in Matthew chapter 10, 14, you had a chance. You have a chance right now to accept the Lord as your personal Lord and Savior. And the idea that you see in Matthew chapter 10, 14 is literally taking your shoe off. Honestly, if you study this in the original text, it's literally taking your shoe off and knocking the dust off before you because I've given you the opportunity, says Jesus, to accept me and you're rejecting it. There comes a time based on Scripture that we say, you know what? I've done all that I can. I've relayed it, I've preached it, I've done it. It is now time for you to respond. Why? Because we must know that Jesus Christ is the only way. I preached through purpose. It took a little longer than I wanted to because of the election. I preached through prayer purpose, and most of you have heard those messages. But I want you to know that you will not ever know your purpose in life until you know the one that has granted you your purpose. And that is Jesus Christ. That eternity is Jesus Christ, the only way. In order for us this morning as Christians, as Flowood Baptist Church, in order for us to fulfill our purpose, we must be eternally minded. In order for us to fulfill our purpose, we must be eternally minded. What does that mean? The amount of time that we put on things that does not matter to the kingdom of God is the time that we need to focus on what really matters to the kingdom of God. The Bible says if you go and you tell, the word is not going to come back void. The Bible tells us that if we preach the gospel, there will be some who will reject it, and there will be some who will accept it. The Bible says that we as a church are to go and to tell that Jesus Christ is the only way. But I believe, I really do, that many of us in the church life today are not fulfilling our purpose because we are fleshly minded rather than keeping our mind on the things of eternal nature. Now, in closing, I want you to answer the question, do you believe God is just? Do you believe God is righteous? And if you believe God is just and God is righteous, is it fair for God to send someone to hell who has never heard the word of God? Based on Romans 1, 16 through 22, we know that that's not going to happen. And I can't answer for all those people out there on the other side of the world, and I can't answer for you. But church, I want you to know this morning that Jesus Christ is the only way. The only thing that we should be preaching, the only thing that we should be meeting about, the only thing that we should be discussing is, are people coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? And for you as a believer, the reason we don't understand what we have now is because we're desiring not to know more about this Jesus. I want you to be able to answer the question, that if I die today, I'm going to close with this illustration. A week ago, Marley and I were sitting outside. We were playing. Lindsay was gone. We were playing on the little Tyke's kitchen. And she brought me some food over there. She was cooking for me. And she says, Dad, why'd you baptize that girl? I was like, because she put her faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Dad, when I get older, will you baptize me? I said, yeah, go play. And as soon as I said go play, I said, you know what? You missed it. Okay? Your pastor missed it. Not too arrogant to announce it. I called her back to me. I said, sit down. She sat down and we began to talk. I said, what do you know about baptism, Marley? God loves me. God died for me. Very simple. She's 4. And she said, Dad, one day I want you to baptize me. And I hope and pray, as most of you probably been there, that that's the greatest decision your kid can make. But I want you to know this. Sometimes we miss those opportunities. Sometimes we miss them. And the only way that we're not going to miss them is to constantly and consistently be eternally focused. And I'm going to tell you, church, if we ever become eternally focused, if we ever become focused on the kingdom of God, you will not be able to explain the things that are happening in this church because it's of God and of God alone. May we not miss that Jesus Christ is the only way, and may you not leave this morning until you know that Jesus Christ is the Savior of your life. God, we thank you. We love you. We praise you for who you are. We thank you for providing that way. We thank you for being that way. God, we ask that you will just continue to lead us and guide us and direct us. God, that you will take this time, that if anyone is here this morning who doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that today will be the day of salvation. If there's someone here who wants to be a part of our church home to continue to grow and be about the Father's business, God, that today can be that day as well. God, whatever it may be, my prayer is that each individual here understands eternity, understands that you're the only way, and understands that you desire to have a relationship with us. God, thank you for being the ultimate way maker. Thank you for providing the sacrifice that we could have never paid. Thank you for saving me, and thank you for declaring me righteous in your sight through the bloodshed of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.